Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you this morning. Appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. We do have those who are visiting with us, and we are thankful for your presence. Hope that you will be back every opportunity that you have. Also, I'm sure we have those who are with us on the live stream. We're thankful that you're with us as well. If you haven't done it lately, tell these men who are our elders, thank you. Over the past year and a half, they have had to make decisions that have not had to been made by an eldership in well over a century. And I can't imagine, I mean, you're navigating uncharted waters there. And I've been in on some of the discussions that they have had, and those discussions have always been entered prayerfully. They have always been with the spiritual and physical well-being of each and every one of you in mind as they've had those discussions. And so if you haven't said thank you, make sure that you do. I know I'm thankful for them. I've got a couple of buddies who preach at congregations that don't have elderships, and they've been navigating this with men's business meeting. Think about that for a moment. 20 men enter a room. You've got varying opinions from this is a government hoax and doesn't even exist to we should go find a cave and stay there and never come out. And you're trying to, as the preacher, come to a consensus with those two extremes and everything in between. I'm thankful because I can imagine trying to do that. And so I appreciate these men, and I hope that you do as well. I was sent a message by Miss Stella, and I forgot to mention this to Dr. Hunt before he made announcements. Terry Young came home Thursday. Originally, they thought he was going to go straight to rehab. That's not the case. He's coming home first. Here in several weeks, he'll get fitted for the prosthetic, and then once they get that on, then he'll begin rehab to help him to learn how to walk and do all that with the prosthetic. And so please continue to keep him in your prayers, and I know that he and Miss Stella appreciate that very much. This morning we come to Luke chapter 15, and we begin what will be a two-part sermon on this statement, how to avoid being a prodigal son. I've told you this story before, I know, in illustrating the kind of the process of sin. Not long after Reagan began to crawl and to pull up on things, Micah had left for the day to go to a teacher's workshop. And so Reagan and I were there together in the house in Demopolis, and we decided to be productive and work on laundry. Now, us working on laundry consisted of me washing, drying, and folding the laundry, and then Reagan unfolding the laundry. And so as we were working on that, at some point she had moved in behind me. And I did not realize that she was behind me messing with anything, but the next thing I know, I just hear crying. And I turn around to see that she had managed to flip the laundry basket on top of her. And it was one of those, you know, it's got holes around the side so you can see in and she could see out. And here she was under the laundry basket, and just this look on her face of how did I get here and how in the world am I going to get out? And I think if we're honest with ourselves throughout our lifetime, all of us have probably found ourselves in that same predicament. Not trapped under a laundry basket, but we found ourselves trapped in sin. And we wonder to ourselves, how did I get here? And now how am I going to get out? You see, sin is a process. Reagan had been messing with that laundry basket all day long. Now, through most of that time, there were clothes still in it, and those clothes helped to counter the weight of her grabbing and pulling up. But she had been flirting with this possibility throughout the day. And for many of us, before we find ourselves mired in the muck of sin, we've been flirting with it long before then. You see, sin works that way. It is a process. In James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15, James says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted," here's the process, "when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." You see, James says it's not an all-at-once thing. Sin works as a process. we're drawn away by our own desires and enticed. Then that gives birth to sin, and then ultimately that gives birth to spiritual death. But what if we started down that road and we recognized we were headed down that road before we met that dead end? Maybe we could then make a U-turn. We could avoid that devastating conclusion. Or if we're already at that point, what if we knew how to get out of that predicament? It seems to me that either one of those would be very helpful. It seems to me that either one of those, the ability to stay out or to get out, would help us in living faithfully the Christian life. And so this morning and next week as well, I want us to learn exactly that from this parable in Luke chapter 15. We want to notice a man who wandered away from home, but then recognized his lost condition and he came back. We can learn from how he wandered away and hopefully avoid that ourselves. That's what we'll notice this morning. We can see how he came back just in case we find ourselves in that same situation, which is what we'll notice next week. And so we go this morning to Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11, as we notice the parable of the prodigal son. 2 points that we want to notice, one for this morning. We want to begin by noticing him becoming the prodigal. As we said, sin is the process. This young man did not go from being in his father's house to the prodigal son like that. It was a process that took place. There were steps that he took that led him further and further away from his father. 4 steps in all that we want to notice. If you have your Bibles, I hope that you do. Pick up with me in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. Then he said, "A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portions of good that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." In these verses, we see at least 4 things that the prodigal son did. 4 things that got him to this end result where he's sitting here in a pig pen. And not just 4 things, but 4 steps, really. Each one building off of the previous one. And if we can make ourselves aware of these 4 things, these 4 steps, then hopefully we can avoid them and likewise avoid becoming a prodigal ourselves. 4 things this morning. Number 1, he took the step of selfishness. He took the step of selfishness. Notice back in verse 12 with me again. "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood." The younger son here has become selfish. He's only worried about himself. Notice, first of all, he's the younger son. The way that things worked in this day and time, when the inheritance would have been divided, first of all, that normally happened when the father was dead or close to his death, before that inheritance would even be divided. Here the younger son can't even be forced to wait until his father dies. He wants it now. But furthermore, he would not have received his inheritance first. The elder son would have. And the elder son would have received a double portion. With 2 sons, they would have divided the inheritance into thirds. The oldest son would have received 2/3, the youngest 1/3. But he can't be troubled to wait. He says, "I want mine now. It's mine, give it to me." That's the attitude of this younger son. Notice his words, "Give me the inheritance that is mine." Well, it wasn't his yet. But notice the love of the father. Father says he wants it. I'll go ahead and give it to him. And notice what the father does. He He keeps his end of the tradition of the way it's supposed to be done. If you'll notice, it doesn't say that he divided to him his livelihood. It says he divided to them his livelihood. So the father goes ahead and relinquishes his property and divides that now to his sons. It has been said many times that ingratitude is the first step to unfaithfulness. Friends, when we stop being thankful for all that God has done for us, then we're headed down that road. Why do you think so many times in the Old Testament, just read through the book of Numbers, the book of Leviticus, the book of Deuteronomy, over and over again, it's being recounted to the Israelites all that God had done for them. You come into the book of Joshua. Joshua tells them the same thing. You remember Samuel. As Samuel is pleading with the people to not appoint a king, he tells them, remember what great things that God has done. Over and over, we have all of these prophets and these men of God who are trying to get the people to remember all the things that God had done for them. Why? So that they'll be thankful. And with that thankfulness, so that they will be faithful. You see, when we stop being thankful, we stop being faithful. And friends, ingratitude is a sign of selfishness. It is a sign of, hey, it's all about me. That was this younger son's problem. He wasn't thinking about his father. He wasn't thinking about his brother. He wasn't thinking about the servants. He wasn't thinking about anybody else in his father's household or under his father's employ. All he was thinking about was himself. Ultimately, all sin is selfishness, is it not? Ultimately, sin is when I say to God, God, I know what you've said on it, but this is what I want to do. And what I want to do is more important than what you have said. That's selfishness. And brethren, that's sin. And that's what this young man, that's what he is doing. He is only thinking about himself. The Christian life is not about self. In fact, the Christian life is to be a selfless life. Christ is the ultimate example of that fact. Paul would write in Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. It became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Let me ask you this question. Did Christ want to die on the cross? No. He did not want to do that. You read his prayer in the garden. He said, if there's any other way, then let this cup pass from me. Another way, Father, if there's any other way for us to accomplish what needs to be accomplished that doesn't involve me doing what I'm going to have to do, then let's do that. He didn't want to have spikes driven through his wrists and his feet. He didn't want to have the whip lashed across his back. He didn't want to have to struggle to breathe for 6 hours. He didn't want to have to go through all of that, but he did. Why? Because it wasn't just about him. It was a selfless act. If I'm going to wind up as a prodigal, the first step that I can take this morning is to simply focus only on myself. That's what the younger son did. And because of that, it left him to the second step he took, and that was separation. Going back to our text in verse 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. The prodigal is now going to take a second step by separating himself from any positive and righteous influences in his life. He wants to get those influences as far away from him as he can. Could he have sinned right there in his father's house? I guess he could have. But he didn't want to. Why? Because every time his father looked at him, it would be a reminder to him that he wasn't doing what he should be doing. He wanted to separate himself from those righteous influences so that he could do what he wanted to do unencumbered. We begin to separate ourselves from Christ, from His church, from Christians, from the Bible, from worship services, from prayer. When we separate ourselves from those righteous things, we're setting ourselves up for sin. Brethren, the journey to unfaithfulness is very rarely a sudden, altogether thing. It's something that happens over time. We miss a service here or there. That leads to us getting more comfortable not being there. And then we miss a few more. And before long, we're not going at all. We're not reading our Bible. We're not praying like we should. We're not surrounding ourselves with those individuals that really want what's best for us. And before long, we find ourselves just like the prodigal. What happens when you separate the positive cable from the car battery? How far are you going? Not going anywhere, are you? That's exactly what happens when you take the positive aspects of Christianity out of your life. Just as that car is dead without that positive battery cable, you're dead spiritually without those positive influences of Christ and His church. This young man separated himself from all of those things. So he's selfish. He wants what his, he takes it, and he leaves. He separates himself from those positive influences. And then thirdly, we see him take another step. And that is the step of surrounding. He's now going to surround himself with sin. Notice verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." What is he focusing on? Is he focusing on spiritual things? No, not at all, is he? He's focusing on the physical. I want those earthly things that belong to me. I want those earthly goods that belong to me. That's what I'm about. That's what I want. Jesus told us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, those physical things, will be added unto us. But it's not just the fact with this young man that his focus is off. He's surrounding himself with materialism. Jesus said something about that very attitude. He says that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Luke 12:15. A man's life does not possess in that abundance of things. That's not what our life consists of. But that's where this young man's attitude is. And he's not just surrounding himself with material things. Notice verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. It's not a phrase that we use anymore, prodigal living, but it's just talking about he surrounded himself with sinful things. He is surrounding himself now with sin. And brethren, I don't care how strong you are, if you surround yourself with sin, you will eventually partake in that sin. If you put yourself constantly in that environment, you will eventually give in to that environment. There's the old saying that He who warms himself by Satan's fire eventually smells like smoke. We've all been to a bonfire or gone to someone's house. We've got a little fire pit in the back of our yard that we use sometimes. I'm ready for the evening temperatures to drop low enough. That's one of my favorite things to do at night, once the temperature drops low enough, to go out there and fire that thing up and just to sit out there. Do you know what? Every time I come inside, you know what I smell like? I smell like smoke. And if we surround ourselves with sin, we'll eventually give in to that. If you hang around with people who use filthy language all the time, you will eventually find yourself using those words. If you hang around people who drink all the time, you will eventually give in and begin to drink. If you hang around people who don't care about Christ and His church all the time, you will eventually adapt that attitude, you'll adopt it for yourself, and you won't care about Christ and the church. You don't have to take my word for it. Take Paul's. 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." This young man has been selfish. He separated himself from righteous influences. He has surrounded himself with sin. And now, number four, he takes the step of succumbing. He succumbs to what he has surrounded himself with. Back to verse 13, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." He now gives in to that temptation. And he sins. Brethren, temptation is not wrong. It is not wrong to be tempted. We need to make sure that we understand there is a difference between temptation and sin. All right, Jesus was tempted, was he not? Matthew chapter 4, Luke 4, we can read a detailed account of the temptation of Jesus. That's not the only time that Jesus was tempted. Satan's not going to just take one shot and be like, "I missed, I'm done." That's not the way that worked. But we have an account of one of those occasions. Jesus was tempted, but did he sin? No. We know that Jesus lived sinless. We can go to the book of Hebrews, 1 Peter, lots of different passages that tell us that Jesus lived a sinful life. So temptation is not sin. Sin is giving in to the temptation. Satan tempted Jesus, and Jesus said no. The prodigal son could have said no, but he didn't. He gave in. He succumbed to the temptation. And then verse 14, "But when he had spent all..." Brethren, when we travel the pathway of sin, there is always a dead end that is coming. You've heard the quote, I've used it many times. Sin will keep you longer than you want it to stay. It will take you further than you want it to go. It will charge you more than you want it to pay. And brethren, it will do it every single time. Sin always ends in a dead end. There is nothing good, there is nothing positive that will come out of it. This young man spent all, and the Bible says, then there arose a severe famine in the land. And he began to be in want. But he's going to be okay, isn't he? I mean, he had all these friends that were with him, right? He had surrounded himself with all of these people that were there, that were enjoying the good times with him. So this young man, he's going to be okay. Now that he's in need, he's in want, now that he's spent all that, they're going to step up, they're going to help him. No, they're not. When the money went, guess who went with it? The friends. This is jumping ahead, but you know who was still there for him? The Father. As soon as he came home, the Father was there. The Father was waiting. The Father ran out and met him. It was the Father who took care of him. Satan used him up and threw him to the side. That's what Satan does. Verse 15, that he went and joined himself to assist from that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. I want you to think about who Jesus, the audience that Jesus is speaking to. Jesus was a Jew. He's speaking to a Jewish audience. What was a pig in the Jewish mindset? It was an unclean animal, right? Remember, they had categories for animals. They were either clean or unclean. The clean animals they could eat of. The unclean, they didn't have anything to do with. You remember Peter? This is jumping to Acts chapter 10. When the angel, when Peter sent a vision prior to them coming and wanting him to go to Cornelius' house. Remember the sheep descended and it had all types of animals in it? And the boy said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Nah. Nothing unclean has ever entered my mouth." And that happened three separate times. That's the attitude of a Jew. Okay? Peter was not uncommon in the attitude that he expressed to that vision. That was the attitude of the Jew. They didn't want to have anything to do with animals that were unclean. Here's a man who is a Jew, who has fallen so far that he's now in the field feeding the pigs. And not only that, the Bible says that he would have gladly eaten what the pigs ate. That's where sin takes you. It takes you to a point that you never thought you would find yourself in. You think this young man ever thought in all of his life that he would one day find himself in a pig pen willing to eat the same mess that the pigs were eating? My dad and my grandfather, among other farming that they did, they had pigs. If I'm being honest with you, I'm kind of thankful that the time I got old enough that I would have helped with that, they had gotten rid of the pigs. But, have you ever seen what pigs eat? It's just, slop is the only word I know to use for it. And that's what this young man was willing to do. He is deep in this pig pen. But thankfully, he doesn't have to stay there. Friend, what about you this morning? Are you a prodigal? Have you wandered far from home? Have you wandered far from your father? You know, next week we're going to notice how this young man came back home, but you don't have to wait till next week to come home. You can do that this morning. You see, the best way to avoid being a prodigal is to decide today that you're going to serve God faithfully. Maybe for someone that means becoming a Christian for the very first time. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, turning from that sinful life, confessing that belief before those who are gathered here, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Friend, if you have questions about that, let us know. Let's sit now. Let's look and see what God says that we need to do in order to be faithful to Him. Maybe you're here and you have done that, but you realize this morning, man, I've wandered so far from home. Come back to Him. Your Father stands ready. His arms outstretched. He'll run out to meet you. He just wants His son, His daughter, to come home. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as together we stand and sing.